Psalm 33 and verse 5, and then the last part is our text. Psalm 33, 5b. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have just read it. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Isn't that a bit of an exaggeration? Isn't that a little bit too much, a little bit over the top, you might ask? The earth full of the goodness of the Lord? Well, sure, we would say yes, there is some goodness of the Lord to be found in this place here and that place there, but is it really full of the Lord? The goodness of the Lord? Is it the earth full of it? We would want to say, well, the earth is full of violence, the earth is full of hatred, the earth is full of wars and rumors of wars and revolutions and sin. But is the earth full of the goodness of the Lord? Again, we might think that that is a bit of an exaggeration. But we have it here in our text, don't we? And that's the Bible. And the Bible doesn't lie, the Bible doesn't exaggerate. The Bible doesn't go over the top, so to speak. The Bible tells us the truth. And therefore, yes, we may take it as the truth from God Himself. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And this is what we want to look at for a few moments this morning as well. But then we might also ask, well, if that is the case, that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord, why is there not more of a thankful response from the people on this earth? Well, you see, people tend to be selfish. People tend to think not much of what the Lord is doing. In fact, people tend to think that it is their doing and their goodness that has made it what it is. And so you see, the problem is that by and large people are unaware that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. In fact, we could even say that many people are blind to it altogether. I want to quote Matthew Henry for a moment. And he says the following. What a pity is it that this earth, which is so full of God's goodness, should be so empty of His praises, and that of the multitudes that live upon His bounty, there are so few that live to His glory. I believe that what Matthew Henry says is the truth indeed. There are so few that really give praises to the bounty of the Lord God. And so, you and I, we are called to stimulate ourselves to see that indeed the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. We want to look at it in the following way. Thanksgiving, because the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And you may be surprised to hear this, but I actually have 8 points. 8 points. And I hope that we will be able to cover them all. First of all then, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord in respect to His creation. In His creation. Now the author of Psalm 33 is quite taken in by creation. He speaks of it already in the verses 6 through 9. Verse 6, for instance, we read there, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made. Verse 7, He gathers the waters of the sea together. Verse 9, God spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Well, now, this same creation that has been put together by the Lord our God, dear people, is also full of the goodness of the Lord as well. Even in how the Lord has created all things. Yes, for His glory. But also He has created all things for us, for you and for me, to enjoy. You see, when the Lord God created heaven and earth and all the things that we see all around us, He has had us, you and me, in mind as well at the same time. He has created it all for our pleasure, for our comfort, for our enrichment, and for your and my personal enjoyment. God is not selfish in saying, well, this is what I've created only for my praise, but also for you and for me, for our enjoyment. Now, I have something for you to think about at this moment. And again, I want to quote someone else here. This is an old Puritan who said this about this whole matter. And listen carefully to what he says. The Lord might, if He had pleased, have made everything we taste bitter, everything we saw loathsome, everything we touched a sting, every smell a stench, and every sound a discord. In other words, the Lord could have filled all of creation with all sorts of negatives, with all sorts of turn-offs for us. But He didn't. He didn't. This is why, for instance, your Thanksgiving turkey and all that comes with it will taste delicious. You just know that. There's no bitterness in it whatsoever. The Lord, you see, He is pleased to tantalize your taste buds and so that you may enjoy many delicacies. There's nothing wrong with that. This is why when you look around, those who will sit around your Thanksgiving table today will look beautiful to you. Because they're your loved ones. They're your friends. Your eyes will feast on many beauties. Even the fall colors are a feast to the eyes, aren't they? We have said it to each other. How beautiful it looks. There's nothing loathsome about it. Recently coming back from Powassan, a few weeks ago, I sort of had a foretaste, so to speak, of what we would be seeing here in these last week or so. The colors of the fall season were in full bloom, so to speak. It was an absolute sight to behold, and we see it all around us this day. And again, we are reminded the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And I just want to go on this Puritan quote for a moment. This is why when you touch a baby's skin, it is soft, it is smooth, it is gentle to the touch. And when you pet your dog or your kitten, it feels soft to the touch. There's no fear of being stung. This is why you may enjoy mouth-watering smells of barbecuing, the sweet fragrance of perfume, even of the outdoors, the autumn leaves. There's a peculiar smell to it that is exciting. There's no stench in any of that. This is why you may hear melodies of the birds and of the rippling brooks water, rippling brooks, of waves crashing onto the shores. There is no discordant sound in any of that whatsoever. It is all music to the ears if we only listen to that sort of thing. And again, we are reminded the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Creation, you see, has all of those senses-pleasing things in it as well for us and for you and for me to enjoy. I mentioned to the students in catechism class this past week that if the Lord had wanted to, He could have created everything in plain black and white. Like our old black and white family pictures from the 1940s and 1950s. Everything black and white. But that's not how He created things. Instead, He created everything, every living being, in brilliant colors. Look at the flowers around us. Look at the birds. You ever look very closely at a hummingbird? Tiny little bird, but the beautiful colors in that bird, even a black crow, if you look at it carefully, and when the sun shines on it just in the right way, you see the beautiful hues of blue and reddish on a black crow. Look at it carefully the next time. You see, the Lord our God, He loves colors. And like a master artist, He has decorated His creation with the most beautiful colors, not only for Him to enjoy, but for us to enjoy as well. And this already shows us that creation is full of the goodness of the Lord. And does that not prompt us, you and me, to thanksgiving? The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. We see this also, number two, in the weather. Now, there's been much hype about global warming the last two, three, four years ago. Although, now you know that they have adopted to a new term. Not global warming anymore, but climate change. Which, of course, opens the whole thing up to, well, it could be global warming, but it could also be global cooling. And so, you know, people fuss about the weather. Some even complain about the weather as well. For some it's too hot, and for some it's too cold, and for some it's too wet, and for some it is too dry. But look at what we, you and I, have enjoyed this past season, dear people. We've had our winter, and we've had our spring, we've had our summer, and now we may enjoy the fall season as well. And doesn't that show us that the Lord is faithful to His promises that summer and winter, springtime and harvest, will not cease till the end of times? We've had our warm days. We've had our cool days as well. We've had our sunny days. And eventually the rains have come as well. We can be thankful for that. The Lord God, who has controlled and controls the weather, has been kind to us, hasn't He? Yes, we've had some setbacks, and we realize that as well. In the early spring, there were some hot days, and then there were very frosty nights. But think of it. What sort of destruction the weather has caused in some of the other places. And we have been saved from that sort of thing. Therefore, even in the weather, we can see something of the goodness of the Lord. And again, does this not prompt you to thanksgiving? The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. We see this, number three, in agriculture. Early in the growing season, concerns were expressed that the fruit would be severely damaged. Because the blossoms came out so fast, and then there was this killing frost. And I was also told that the corn will be drying up in the fields as well. And I don't deny that there were some setbacks in regard to some of the fruit and to some of the crops. I understand that the apple crop is not very good this year, and perhaps some other crops as well. But at the same time, what can be found in the stores, in the marketplaces, the farmers' markets, even the little booths along the side of the road. It's an abundant harvest that we see there as well. The goodness of the Lord, it can be seen in the abundance of grains, in the abundance of fruit, in the abundance of vegetables that are available to us. We can even speak of a rich harvest, congregation. A rich harvest. I was reminded of that earlier in the season when the strawberries came out. I've never tasted such delicious strawberries as this particular season. Earlier this summer, when I was in Abbotsford, BC, I noticed along the country roads there, And for you who know BC, you will know what I'm talking about. I notice along the country roads there, some places on both sides of the roads even, wild blackberry bushes full of fruits. No one owns them. Well, God owns them. But they were there, wild blackberries, just for the abundance of it. It was there to pick, for anyone to enjoy. And again, as I saw that, I was reminded of this text. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The Lord's goodness provides even for no one in particular and for everyone to enjoy. And even if you're not into crop growing, just look at your gardens. Look at the bushes, the plants and the flowers that you may see all around. They're nothing short of being full of bloom and lush and fruitful. And certainly in agriculture we can say then that the goodness of the Lord can be seen all around us. And again, does this not prompt you and me to thanksgiving, dear people? The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. We see this, number four, in our government and nation. Now, many people have serious complaints about those who govern them. Many, in fact, especially if we have looked at the news a little bit, have resorted to rebellion and to revolution. It's been called the Arab Spring, and it's become an Arab Summer, and now an Arab Fall, and perhaps even an Arab Winter as well, with all the revolutions that are ongoing. And in some cases, the reasons for complaint or for protest are legitimate, although I cannot possibly condone the sort of rebellion that we have seen in the news. But now closer to home, is there not something good to say about our government and about our nation? We have a democratic and a duly elected government. We have a prime minister who is, I would want to say, level-headed at least. Yes, we would like to see him govern more according to Christian principles and in a Christian manner. And we can certainly pray for that as well. But think of it for a moment, dear people. We don't have a man over us who is immoral or is an immoral fool or is ruthless in the way he carries out and in way he which instructs police and the army. We don't have a tyrant ruling over us, as we see in the Middle East in so many places. Now, yes, there is corruption in the government. We know that. As it is the case in most governments. But our government stands accountable, doesn't it, to some very sharp watchdogs. We may therefore expect that those who are caught in their corruption will be duly prosecuted as well, as it says a few verses later on beyond our text in verse 10. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples, especially those who govern. He makes the plans of those people of no effect. If the powers that be will not prosecute those who have broken the law, certainly we know that God will in due time prosecute them. So let's leave it up with God. I know our nation is by no means theocratic, that is, governed, ruled by God. But we may still enjoy freedom of religion, can't we? We may still worship our God as we feel is right, without being harassed in any way, shape, or form. We may still preach the gospel. We may still evangelize those and reach out to those who do not yet know the gospel. Our government still allows us to be of a charitable status as well, even allows us to do mission work and mission have mission organizations with a charitable status. For instance, I'm on the board of Christian Ministry to Israel, CMI, and I know that Christians in Israel are having a very tough time. They're being harassed. They're having all sorts of troubles. They have very few privileges. Nevertheless, our nation allows us to have a charitable status so that we can donate to the work that is going on, the Christian work of evangelism that's going on there by us, you and me. Government says, that's fine. Charitable status. You and I, we may collect funds which may be spent then in the nation of Israel for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And no one hinders us from doing so. Our government is not opposed to that. Now, you compare that to some of the governments in the Middle East. It's a totally different story. And surely something of the Lord's goodness can be seen in this as well, dear people. And again, does this not prompt us, you and me, to thanksgiving? The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. We see this, number five, in our economics. Yes, we've seen some economic setbacks, especially in the last couple of years. It is worldwide. We also know that. The term depression has sometimes been used for it as well. But it's nothing like the Great Depression of the 1920s and the 1930s, is it? Most of our people have been able to keep working. Wages have kept coming in. Some economists have called our financial crisis a recession. But it has also been said already that the recession is over. And that we are on the road to recovery. Well, hopefully they're right. I'm by no means an economist, I must admit that. But I do believe that there's good hope for the future. Because, you see, the Lord is good to us. The Lord is good to us. And again, does this not prompt you to thanksgiving? The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. We see this, number six, in our families. And I know that modern society has not been kind to families. The sinful society, driven by selfish motives, is bent on destroying the family unit. And we see that, don't we? But in Christian circles, our families still enjoy a great measure of importance, and we can be thankful for this. It is the place where the husband and the wife may share each other's love. It is the place where we may see our children being raised in a way that is pleasing to us and to the Lord our God. It is the place where we are trained for life, for the life that is out there in the world later on. How wonderful it is that we can share with our loved ones and with our family members those joys and those hopes that we have. And how comforting and how consoling it is that we may share with our family members also our disappointments, our griefs and our sorrows, that we can actually cry on one another's shoulders. What a wonderful thing this is. This is also part of the goodness of the Lord, dear people. I'm so thankful that the Lord God, in His wisdom, has invented families, and that He has invented family life, you see, because most of us would find it very difficult to be on our own and alone. And even our single brothers and sisters in the congregation still know that there's good fellowship to be found with their own families as well. What a blessing this is that we may enjoy all of this. And there are people, as you look around to your families at this moment today, and look at the very various family members, consider that they too, each individually, are part of the goodness of the Lord. Boys and girls, it's so good to see that you are in church also this morning. But I want to ask you something. You look at your mom and your dad for a moment. You do that. And what do you see? Well, you see your mom and dad. But you may also see something of the evidence of the Lord's goodness to you and to you and to you, to each one of you. Fathers and mothers, just look at your children for a moment. As they are little ones, oh, they have small problems. As you see them grow up as teenagers, huge problems. As you see them grow up, married life, and you see them fall into a path that you know is the Lord's way. As you see grandchildren, full of the goodness of the Lord. And again, does this not prompt you to thanksgiving? The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. We see this, number 7, in our church. There are people, and I don't have to say this really, but there is a church on this earth. And it is the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, which has been bought by His blood and by the sacrifice that He has made, and which is being worked out by His Word and by His Holy Spirit. You and I, we may be part of this church. And how wonderful it is that we can gather as church, even today, Thanksgiving Day, with our loved ones, with our family, our friends, our neighbors even. It's good to be a church family, isn't it? Church family. That means that we care for each other. We check up on each other. We are accountable to each other. We speak kindly to each other. We defend each other's honors, don't we? This is what we do as believers, as Christians in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't do that sort of thing, we are denying the faith. But we hold up one another's honor. This is what Christian families do. It's good to be part of that, isn't it? We have a Bible that instructs us in the ways of salvation. We may still have the preaching of the gospel as well, that exhorts us and that leads us on in the way of salvation. This is what church life centers around. That's the Word of God and the preaching of the gospel. And it's good to be involved in this, isn't it? We have our day-to-day church meetings, Sunday school, catechism classes, young people's, men and women's Bible studies, Zion seniors as well, consistory, and many of the others, meetings and committees that take care of the good order of church life. We all take part of that faithfully, don't we? That's part of church life. We may be thankful for that. We also have a well-stocked library there as well to keep us properly informed. And we hope to see it grow more and more yet. We even have some new facilities back there as well. We can be thankful for that. We can be thankful for the many volunteer hours that have been put into this work. And we praise the Lord for this. We have room enough now for all our societies to meet in comfort. Let's appreciate this as well, dear people. All of that, you see, is evidence of the goodness of the Lord, of which the earth is full of. And again, does this not prompt you to thanksgiving? The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Now, dear people, there are many more things that I could refer to as evidence of the goodness of the Lord. But there's one more thing, and that we must hold very, very dear. And that should perhaps stay right at the top. There's one more thing that is great evidence of the goodness of the Lord. And we see this, number 8, in His mercy. In His mercy. Now at this point I have to tell you a little bit of a secret. And the secret is that the term goodness here in our text could as easily be translated as mercy. In fact, if you look into this same psalm again, and you look at verse 22, There you have the same word in the original, but is now translated as mercy. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you. Same word, mercy. In other words, the goodness of the Lord shows up preeminently in His mercy. You see, it is the mercy of God that is celebrated in the church particularly. The church, you see, is privileged to express thanksgiving, particularly for the mercy of the Lord our God. Now, the world is blind to this, and that is because it doesn't have the Word of God. And therefore, we should also engage in evangelism to tell them about the mercy of God. Therefore, the world celebrates Thanksgiving in a different fashion. You and I may sometimes wonder why the world celebrates Thanksgiving. What is the world thankful for, and to whom is the world thankful to? Is it Mother Nature? We don't know. But we, you and I, we may be thankful for the Lord's mercy, for His mercy towards us. And I can refer to a number of things, but in His mercy, He has delivered us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of salvation. In His mercy, He has given us His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for your and for my sin. In His mercy, He, the Lord God, is pleased to give us the Holy Spirit, to bring us the gospel of peace, not only into our ears, but right into our hearts as well. And to show us the greatness of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ when He died on the cross. In His mercy, God is pleased, their people, against all odds, to work saving faith in the hearts of sinners, stubborn sinners even, who willfully go against the ways of the Lord. And the Lord comes into them, breaks their hearts, and He does it by His Word and by His Holy Spirit. In His mercy, He proclaims life in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has died for those who believe in Him. In His mercy, He, the Lord God, promises an inheritance that is beyond all description. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what the Lord has in store for those who believe in Christ. It's an inheritance that is reserved for us, dear people, in heaven. It is the mercy of the Lord particularly, isn't it, that gives us rise to give thanks to the Lord our God. Not just once a year. And pray that that never may become the case with us, just once a year. But every day, every hour of our life. And here I want to quote John Calvin for a moment, because he has something very important to say. Let us, he says, throughout life walk in such a way that we may from year to year, from month to month, from day to day, from hour to hour, and minute to minute, continually acknowledge ourselves indebted to God for the goodness He has given us through His pure mercy. Do you know the mercy of God, dear people? Do you know the mercy of God for you personally? Have you embraced that mercy in faith, I ask you? If not, you're missing out on something tremendous. But if you have, then you have something wonderful to give thanks for to the Lord our God. Because if you know of the mercy of the Lord, you will also find something in it to be thankful for all the goodness that you see, of which the earth is full of, and we have heard it already in its creation, in the weather, in agriculture, in government and our nation, in economics and family, church life. If you know of the mercy of the Lord personally for yourself, then you will have all the reasons in the world to give thanks to the Lord. Then whatever else you might miss in this life, or whatever else you might have to do without in this life, or whatever else you might have to suffer in this life because you are following the Lord Jesus Christ, you have much to be thankful for. Above all, that you may be thankful for that precious and priceless gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Father has given to us. Then you too will be able to say, I thank you, O my Father in heaven, for your indescribable gift, your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then you see, then thanksgiving will reach a climax in our lives, because then we, you and I, will indeed be convinced, yes, it's not over the top. It is not much. It is not too much. It is no exaggeration at all. The earth is filled with the goodness of the Lord. And for that, we may express our thanksgiving, as we will now do in prayer. But first, we'll sing.